Nations.
Queen PR, Krista B, those wrestling girls, TWG, Black Excellence, making it effortless, podcast bringing up women in wrestling. Let's go.
Hey.
Hey. I am good.
That's good. It's been a little minute. Not too long though.
No. We're right on time.
Yeah. We're keeping up our pace. Mm-hmm. What's up, everybody? It's your favorite girls, those wrestling girls. It's your girl, Krista B.
And Queen PR.
And we are back with a super, super dope and super fun episode. Of course, this is after Elimination Chamber, so we definitely have to talk about Chamber. Mm-hmm. But it's directly right on time because it's on our road to WrestleMania.
Yes! My favorite time.
Yes, it's the most exciting time. I feel like it's Christmas for wrestling fans. I feel like
it really is.
It's Christmas for wrestling fans. It's like, we know that Santa Claus is coming.
Yes.
We know it. Like, the kids in us know that Santa Claus is coming. Mm-hmm. We know we gotta be good. We know we gotta, you know...
It's like everything in the year all leads back to WrestleMania.
Right. And I just love it. Like, I can't wait for WrestleMania April 6th and 7th in Philly, literally up the block. Yes,
I love that for us
because we flew out for 2 years. Mm-hmm. Now it's time for the West Coast to fly over to the East Side. Mm-hmm. We welcome y'all, but not too much on us, okay? Thanks. So how you been, girly?
I've been good. Wrestling's been fun. I woke up at 5:00 this morning to watch Elimination Chamber. So I took a nap, but then I'm like, okay, now I got to get up and do Saturday things.
Right.
So, and I was really excited about today's episode, so that was on the agenda for today too. So just like living in this, you know, buzzy time in the industry and trying to like chase that inspiration and just create as much content as possible,
which it's you've been killing.
A really fun time. Thank you.
Really been killing it on our end. But that's good. Yeah, so I would have loved to say that I woke up at 5 a.m. But however, your girl came home after she was out. I was out last night. Mm. And it was a vibe. It was a good vibe.
I love that.
And I came home and I showered at like 3 this morning. I'm like, all right, can I set an alarm for 5 a.m.? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And then literally I woke up at 7:30 and it was still on. So I caught the ending of the Men's Elimination Chamber match. So I caught when AJ Styles was beating up LA Knight. That's going to be a feud. I can't wait for that feud. That's going to be so good.
That's going to be good. This was a good follow-up to Rumble.
Yeah.
And to be the next pay-per-view, like the last pay-per-view before Mania.
Right.
So this was good to build into all of that.
And I hope that, you know, Randy Orton is not really hurt. Like, we know that his back, he was gone because of his back. But I hope he's not really hurt. Mm. But there's some things I'm just like, from the highlights that I've seen, because I am going to rewatch it for myself. Because, Cody Rhodes is calling out The Rock.
Mm. Like, I mean, he smacked the shit out of Cody.
He did.
So I think Cody got the right to be like, yo, what's up?
You're right. He did slap the shit out of Cody. And for me, I'm not opposed. an American Nightmare Drama Bowl Great One match feud. Yes. I'm not opposed to it at all because I do want to see The Rock wrestle at least one time before he goes to Mania. I do want to see that. I also want to see where this feud. I feel like Randy Orton and Logan Paul. That's gonna be a feud, and I feel like
be really good.
I feel like I had an epiphany during the whole Randy RKOing him out of nowhere, and then Logan punching him with the brass knucks. I feel like they're about to put that title on the line, and Randy's about to be the new United States champion.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. And I love that Rhea and Nia main evented.
Yes.
And the show, like the international shows, make the pay-per-views feel like so much bigger than they normally feel, mm-hmm. because you're in like this big ass stadium with like these passionate fans that don't get wrestling in their part of the country very often. The last time WWE was there, I think, was Super Showdown, maybe?
Maybe, but I don't think it was ever in Perth.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like that buzz around it made it such a better show to me. Like, all the moments, even Grayson Waller and the hometown, like Nia being born there and being able to visit family, like all those little times. Indy Hartwell at the last time able to perform in their hometowns made it such a special show. Like the same thing with like the Backlash of Puerto Rico. Like that show just felt like no other Backlash, because
I am so mad I missed it. Like, feels. I'm mad I missed it. Like I could have been there, gonna meet Familia, and like just driving to wherever it was, but it was a special show. And speaking of special shows, today's a special show because we have a very, very special guest. And like I said, we're on the road to WrestleMania, and you can't start WrestleMania without Wally Mania. Yes. So we have to bring up this very, very special guest of ours. Please welcome the one and only Emilio Sparks.
Now that's how you sell tickets to Wally Mania.
That's our favorite event.
Almost for a reason,
Thank you.
Welcome, friend.
How do I sound? Do I sound good to you? Is the audio pristine?
It is.
It is pristine. Okay. Yes.
Cool.
How are you feeling? Hi. Thank you for joining us, by the way.
Well, thank you for the invite. I really don't go on many podcasts. So, you know, you said, hey, you want to come on? I'm like, sign me up. Let's do it.
I appreciate you. I remember when we first launched our podcast and we launched Twitter. Mm-hmm. And I guess you caught wind of our podcast. This was in 2018. And you was like, I think the tweet was something to the effect of, oh, we have to get those wrestling girls. We have to do some type of collaboration. Yeah. And I'm looking on Twitter and P is like, oh my gosh, like, we got to do something. We have to do something with Emilio because this is just so big and so huge. But, you know, everything happens for a reason. Now we're talking and it's a long overdue, but we are so grateful that you agreed to be with us today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Let us talk the graps. And the what caught my attention was that if you go back to 2018, right, the landscape of content creation, podcasting, just visual media in this little bubble in which we all cover was completely different. Mm-hmm. It was very white guy, neck beard, black wrestling t-shirt, you know, talking about things that they liked and things that they hated and so on and so forth. And they would spew whatever nonsense they would spew. And then like it shifted, and rightfully so. Mm-hmm. And now there is a nice female voice, and there's a nice female voice of color in the space creating the content that needs to be shared as well, because it shows that, hey, not all, you know, not all wrestling fans are Caucasian men from like, you know, 25 to 40, you know what I'm saying? So it's nice to just see such diversity in the space, and it's really cool content what you guys do, and I always loved it. I think you guys are talented, so that's why I wanted to support very early on. I saw the vision early on, so I wanted to pick it up.
Thank you so much for that. Yes. So, you know, we always ask the question because we do talk wrestling. We're going to get into Wally Mania and all that stuff. But mm-hmm. as fans, like, what intrigued you? What pulled you in to be a wrestling fan?
Oh, wow. So it was SummerSlam. My brother's down here. Vin, what was it? What did DD give us? It was 89. It was SummerSlam 89. My grandmother, I don't know how. Hot box, bootleg, I don't know, but like my uncle taped it. My uncle is only like 9 years my senior, so he was like a big influence on what I listened to musically and what I was watching with professional wrestling. He was obsessed with Jake the Snake Roberts, so it was always the DDT. So at like, you know, like 4 or 5 years old, that's the only thing that you know outside of like He-Man, Transformers, Thundercats, whatever, you know, cartoons are on at the time. And it was pro wrestling. And that was the tape. It was SummerSlam 89. I'll never forget it, man. It came with like a box of stuff, and it was only two matches. Dude, it was just like on this like tape, and I guess he taped over something and my grandmother was annoyed about, so she got rid of the tape. But it was two matches. It was Million Dollar Man Ted DiBiase versus Superfly Jimmy Snuka. That was the first match. And then the second match was the main event, which was a tag team match. It was Beefcake and Hogan against Zeus and Savage, and they cut to it, and Savage and Zeus do this insane promo, and that was what hooked me in. It was the Savage promo when they're like looking at the cage, and Sensational Sherry is doing this thing, and this smoke like billowing from underneath them. It was just like really cool shot, and she's like saying there's a cauldron underneath them. Wow. she's like predicting what's gonna happen in the match. And you know, it was like some scary shit when you're a kid. It was like, whoa, what's going on here? And then Savage is yelling and he's doing what he's doing. And then Zeus just looks menacing with the Z on his, like shaved into his head. And he's doing the booby bounce and he's like, stressed and, you know, so it was like things like that. You sat and you watched it and you were like, yo, this is better than anything I've ever seen. And it was like a process overload too, because you got to remember, when you're that little, right, your frontal lobe is processing everything at like light speed. So you don't know what to make heads or tails of. And it's just insane how it's like these loud, big men screaming, wearing sequins. And you're like,
right. It's funny how like those two matches really encapsulated all of like the spectacle of what professional wrestling is. Like you got a little bit of everything. You even got the touch of like Hollywood blending into it with Zeus. And so just that whole, like, I can just see that making a huge impression on
it. It was a different time too. More. Like if you even look after that, right, that's like, that was like the last era where it was during the like globalization period for WWF, when Vince really wanted to take over. And it started in 84 after Backlund loses the championship to the Iron Sheik, and the Iron Sheik transitions. And then you get red and yellow for the 4 years that we got. And then, you know, you see what's happening in like by the late 80s. Then there was like that kind of lull in the early 90s. And then that boom period picks up again when WCW starts to compete and WWE enforces the Attitude Era on December 15th, 1996 or 1997. It was one of those years. And then you see like how it changes again with like Stone Cold Steve Austin and Goldberg, and how like mainstream media really picked it up. So there was like two interesting renaissance periods and two completely different ways of how they shot. From a company standpoint, if you just want to like analyze WWE, it was just two completely different ways of how they shot things. And it's incredible to watch. So if you do, you know, tonight go on the Google machine and go on YouTube, look up something from like the 80s, and then look up something from the 90s, then look up something from the Attitude Era, then look up something from the early 2000s, then the middle of the 2000s, and then the 2020s. And you'll just see like where it goes, where it progresses, where it halts, where it hits the ceiling, and so on and so forth. And then you'll be like, okay, this is how I want to start to conceptualize it, contextualize and break down this thing, and really look at it as a media study more than just a fan. And that's what like has always drawn me in once I started to like really figure out and started working in professional wrestling, and wrestlers sat me down and schooled me. That's how I started to just open up and be like,
makes this industry so interesting and in depth. That's why I hate when people claim that they're like experts in wrestling, because I'm like, it's so deep. Like there's no way that you could be like an expert. Like there's so much that you can learn, you know?
The only way you're an expert is if you bump in professional wrestling and you sell a lot of merch and you're on TV and you win championships and you're on the road grinding on the indies and you're really cultivating your talent. I don't know if writers, journalists, and I use the term journalist loosely, depending on the public, depending on the outlet in which you work for.
Right.
Content creators, social media mavens, influencers. I don't know if we're just more observers Mm-hmm. We're not experts. So I try not to say I know something or I don't, but I had some of the, I had really good teachers drop game to me, but I am in no way, shape, an expert. I just go with what I like. I go with what I see, and I go with what I was taught. And and you're right. We're not works to perfection. There's nobody perfect in this thing unless you're like, you know, like you're running a company, you're expertly booking a thing and you're drawing ratings and money and whatever. But like, we just observe and just watch and that's it. I don't know. Like, social media disgusts me to the point where
it's so bad now.
I very rarely, I don't like to tweet as much as I used to.
Same. And I used to love being in wrestling Twitter, and now it just feels like,
negative. I'm not going to get dunked on by somebody that has an egg as their avatar or somebody who thinks they know something. And the only way that they eclipsed a mass following is through engagement farming and shitting all over something else, you know, in the tribalism of whatever it is on social media. So I'm just like, I'm good. I'm going to talk about something else. I'm going to just drink boatloads of kombucha, and I'm going to take photos of that, and I'm going to put it on social media.
I love it. Right. So you need a break sometimes from that. Like, it's so toxic. Really, you just really need a break from all of that.
The product.
Yeah.
All right. So this past weekend, right, I watched Impact Live. Oh, TNA. I watched TNA live. I got to start getting used to calling it TNA wrestling again. So I watched TNA Wrestling's pay-per-view. I watched the New Japan Pro Wrestling show live. And then I got through because I just was, my eyes were bleeding at that point. I needed sleep because I was up for almost 24 hours. I watched the Elimination Chamber. I passed out during the men's match, which I was upset about, but I can always go back and watch it. But that's like three shows. And then if you want to count Rampage and SmackDown, now that's like five solid like wrestling shows in an evening, you know. And I was keeping up on social media with the GCW show and the VXS show. So I was so that's six things now you're keeping up with, because I like everything, and I will watch, I'll watch two cockroaches wrestle if I think like one of them's going to go over, you know what I'm saying? So to sit there and to see that, you know, you're right. It's like, I need a break after a while. But like, ooh, man, I don't know. There are some that could just sit there and just have angry thumbs and angry hearts
all night.
And
all
I'm
day.
Like, yo.
It's crazy.
Like, back. Like go think, outside, man.
Right.
Like,
and
there.
I put some air. Let us,
it's
let the
so
sun hit.
It's so unfortunate. It's like, do you know real life exists outside of here? And at one point, there was a good separation. Like, you could almost keep away from that side of Twitter. But then the last couple of years, I feel like it's just all blended together. And I don't know how to escape that toxicism, you know?
Well, I'll explain it to you like this, right? The best thing in the world of professional wrestling, especially in an echo chamber that is a small one, like we, like the internet, the IWC, as everybody calls it, isn't this like vast majority of people. It's actually a small minority in an echo chamber screaming at the exact same time. And whatever bounces off the wall sometimes is going to stick. So like, it's the indifference that makes professional wrestling fans flock to certain accounts. It's not necessarily the hate, it's the indifference towards the product, right? So like, if there's an indifference towards WWE, well then all the WWE detractors are going to go to that account. If there's indifference towards AEW, all the AEW detractors are going to go to that account. And then it goes for the indies, it goes for New Japan Pro Wrestling, it goes for TNA, so on, and so a Joshi promotion, like so on and so forth. So it's like, you just got to figure out like, how do you want to cultivate your algorithm, you know, mute certain words, mute certain accounts. The block feature is the greatest tool in the world. And then you just go off and you enjoy the stuff that you like, you know what I'm saying? So, and then you cover the stuff that you enjoy on your podcast with your best friend.
Right.
That's what you do.
Right. So how did you, what's your journey into getting into wrestling podcasting, content creation, the media side of wrestling? How did you go from fan to creator?
So I was at I hit a glass ceiling at work, right? I was at Sirius for XM for about 10 years, and I hit like a glass ceiling there. I didn't know what I was going to do. I didn't know the company had an idea for me or what they wanted my future to be there. And that didn't necessarily align with what I wanted. So our vibrations were off, and, you know, to a degree, I was just there at night. So I kind of felt forgotten about, and maybe that's part of my own devices for having such indifference to what they wanted me to do, you know? But it just, my heart wasn't in it. And if my heart isn't in it and I can't speak to my heart in a way where I can give something 110%, then I can't do it. But I loved being in the studio with all the talent that I was with, specifically at Shade 45. And I love that. You know, I look back on that time, that 10 years there, with a joy, because it made me a better broadcaster and producer to do the things that I wanted to do and I felt that I needed to do once I left there. So WrestleRap started as a hashtag. It was during the WrestleMania in Atlanta. And Kaz and this other guy named Ernest Estime created the hashtag WrestleRap. Mm-hmm. And it started to, you know, grab a little steam. And then they were just grabbing moving parts of other people. Like, hey, we want to do this article. So this, that, and the third. You know, we want to create this website. And there were several iterations of WrestleRap before it became it was a podcast with me and Kazim first. So that was the thing first. So I wasn't.
What year was that?
Oh, I don't even. I want to say, it's been a while. I could tell you that. Like, I can't look at, like, to me, time is just, it's all over the place. So, like, yes, it's like real linear. But to me, like, if I don't remember the date, like, I can rattle off the date of the Attitude Era starting, but I can't remember the date in which WrestleRap started.
Gotcha.
So, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, go figure. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can't even remember my parents' wedding anniversary.
I totally get you.
So after that, you know, there was several different changes. You know, it was a revolving door. Me and Kaz were just like, let's just podcast. And at the time, we were like the only tree in the professional wrestling podcasting landscape. Like, AEW wasn't even a creation yet. You know what I mean? This is like Cody Rhodes was still Stardust at that point. You know?
Oh.
Yes, it was a completely different world. Like, look at the landscape. The Joe Budden podcast just started, right? And that was so that was the thing. Rap Radar podcast was just starting. There was no like real wrestling, like there were wrestling podcasts, but there wasn't like anything for what me and Kaz felt we wanted as professional wrestling fans. And, you know, we had the idea that WrestleRap is going to be barbershop talk. And we're going to come in there. We're going to have our bullet points. We're going to make sure that we do our due diligence during the week, you know, and we're just going to come in and talk about what we didn't like, and we'll jovially do what we didn't like, and we'll make jokes, but we'll do it in fun, because no matter what, good to me, great wrestling is great and bad wrestling is entertaining. Mm-hmm. So it really doesn't matter, even if a storyline doesn't make sense. So that's what we really wanted to do. And we talked about everything, like even our lives. We talked about music, because again, music, you know, Kaz had his background in hip hop journalism. I had mine in radio production and producing radio shows. So it was just like one of those things that just came together. It was like the right place at the right time. And we let the lightning out of the bottle, so to speak. Kaz gets his job with WWE. He departs the show. And then for a little while, it's me. And then I get my gig at WWE. And then a friend of mine kind of held me down for a little while until I was able to figure out how I could do a podcast. And then my tenure at WWE ended and I came back, and it's been me and the Mighty Vin ever since. And, you know, we have a nice round table of individuals that come on. You know, Queen PR has been on a bunch of times.
Yeah, it's a good time. Vin is good.
Brian, as we like to affectionately call him, Brian Triple H Waters has been on.
I love that.
You know, Snack Guy Greg, Phil Lindsay, just like a nice who's who. A lot of, you know, everybody from Black Wrestling has been on. So it's just like, it's been just a really cool you know, community. And that was always the thing that we wanted to build early on, because we feel that community, without community, you ain't nothing. Right. And so, you need your community. And there was no table, so let's build the table together so we can all sit and we can all eat. And that was the early on, that was the genesis of what it was, because, you know, you need community to uplift and you need community to motivate and you need community to push you forward. And that's what we did. And, you know, and you look now and you see those wrestling girls, Grapsity, BRP, you know, Black Announce Table, you know, A Queen of the Ring. There's a lot of really good shows out there and you got to support them because they supported Wrestle Rap really early on. And a lot of these people I consider really close friends because they held me down as well and really supported me. And to me, that's the most humbling and gracious thing in the world. So if you have humility and grace with that, I'm always going to retweet something from somebody because they do it for me and they still do it. Like I just started a YouTube channel where I do adventures with professional wrestlers.
I love it.
And then we have, oh, thank you.
I came across it on TikTok and I was like, what is it that he does? And he's doing yoga.
I know, right?
He's with wrestlers doing outlandish but fun stuff. Like, I want to be Emilio when I grow up, okay?
Yeah, I want to be you when I grow up. How about that one, okay? Both of you. I want to be y'all. I want to have nice decorations behind me.
We have Elvis. He's the king.
So yeah, I know. I mean, how can you not? I mean, you know, Mighty Vin gets on me and makes fun of me for being an Elvis fan, but like Elvis and Motown and Sinatra, those were the three that were in my household. So it was like when my mother was making Sunday dinner, she was making the gravy or the sauce, you know, whatever Italian that's sitting here watching this and is like wincing or rolling their eyes. Sinatra would play, Elvis would play, and then just a myriad of Motown would play. And so it was just, I don't know, somebody gave us an Elvis bust and I was just like, I don't know what I'm going to do with this, but it's ridiculous and kitschy. And how could you not enjoy ridiculous, kitschy things? So anytime that I'm on a podcast or I record my own, that's going to be there. And then there's an Elvis cookie jar, like right up over there.
Oh, wow. That's cute.
So it's just like, and it's just whatever. It's like, all right, cool. Enjoy it. Here's the nonsense that is my life. But yeah, I just became you mentioned yoga. I just became a certified yoga instructor.
Nice.
So. Congratulations.
Yeah, nice. And we've always got such good vibes from you, the Wrestle Rap brand. Like, cause you know, we were in the Twitterverse for so long because of like the pandemic. So it was like not until recently a lot of us was able to, you know, meet. And it's always Mania week weekend for the most part,
right?
Where you kind of have that, you know, family reunion. But what was the why did you want to do the content you're doing now with the wrestlers and stuff like that? Because what I like about it is it shows a different side of wrestlers. If it's not something you see on any other platform at this point, like, where are you going to see Big E doing hot yoga, like, with, you know, one of his dear friends? So what inspired that project?
For many years, I took a back seat because Emilio Sparks, the on-air host, the content creator, wasn't making money, and Emilio likes to make money. So I had to really take a step back and post WWE too, right? Like, and really step up and earn a living because I had no paycheck coming in. And it was worth the height of the pandemic, right? Literally, I leave and then a global pandemic shuts down the world. So, you know, you're sitting there and you're thinking, ooh, I got to earn a living. What am I going to do? And, you know, you start to work with individuals that you trust and they trust you with their visions. So their visions become your visions. And, you know, you're responsible now for making sure that they become a success on all the things, on the Apple, on Spotify, on YouTube, on Twitter, on Instagram, you know, and so on and so forth. So your goals and your little bucket list things, that takes a step back for a moment because now you're working and you're really enjoying crafting these things for these other people. You know, I loved working with, and it was two shows that saved me because I was in a bad place up here. I was in a bad place. it was talking shop with Rocky Romero and the Good Brothers and Rene Paquette. So I am those four people I am forever grateful for. Because honestly, if it wasn't for those four, I don't think they changed the course of my life. So I'm eternally grateful for those four. And so with that, I'm extremely loyal. So I will run through I will run in a building if it was on fire, you know what I mean? To save these people, because that's like, I genuinely love them because they made sure that I was paid. They made sure that I had money in my pocket for when I was traveling. And most of all, they cared about what I had to say. Mm-hmm. And they understood that I cared about them and I cared about the programs in which they were doing. Mm-hmm. So then when those shows end, you're sitting there and you're bored out of your brain. And you're like, what am I going to do now? Right? Oh, and it was Renee. It was Big E. And it was my Uno Tavia. They were like, why don't you do your own thing now?
Mm-hmm.
You've been a behind the scenes guy for so long, you know, and Renee would say it, you're extremely funny. You're extremely charming. When you come on and guest host with me on the sessions, why don't you do your own thing, but figure out what's unique to you? And, during the pandemic, I had the idea. I'm in the shower. I'm washing my hair because, you know, it's like long and down to here. So I'm like washing my hair and I'm thinking, like, what do I want to do? And I was like, you know what's not been done? Journaling, breath work, personal inquiry work, yoga. Just, you know, what about doing an activity that the professional wrestler is into? What is their hobby? How can that relax them to do the activity with me? And then we tell an interview with substance and depth, because that's what I'm into. I'm into the heart and tone of telling a story that has substance and depth. And I would like to think that anything that I've ever produced and the people that I've ever worked with, I helped convey that message of substance with depth and heart and tone. Because if you don't have heart and tone with whatever you do, even this conversation, if you don't have heart and tone with what you do, people are going to know you're just phony and you're in it for the clicks and the notoriety.
Right.
And you know, you a halfway crook.
Yeah.
So to me, I always wanted to come off as authentic and natural and organic as possible. So what better way to do that than to do it this way? But I was also on my own personal my own personal journey of self-discovery and healing. So I needed to know that I needed to be more vulnerable and I needed to soften my edges more. And I needed to show my breakdowns, which led to my breakthrough. So that way this performer who's so guarded or in kayfabe understands that I'm not coming here just as a host and you're not going to work the camera just being, you know, your gimmick. And what better way to do it than I had a short list of people. And my short list of people consisted of to do yoga with Big E, because who better than, you know, hours of conversation about self-growth and journey and personal inquiry work than with a tour. And Effie. I'm dropping my Effie one within the next couple of days. I'm going to drop this interview with Effie. And we did yoga and we talked about slowing down and taking care of you and listening and sitting in the stillness and silence and listening to what you need and what you want after you do so much for so many.
Right.
And the video that I did with E, we talked about imposter syndrome and we talked about vulnerability and, you know, you are worthy enough. You are good enough. And then you get to see us do the yoga and sweat. You know what I mean? So it's like part of that. And I always knew to do that. It was always something that I wanted to do. But again, like you said before, when we first started the show, right? When it's supposed to be, it'll be. And when it's supposed to happen, it'll happen. If I didn't do the work with Gallows and Anderson and Rocky and Renee, which led me to work with Peter Rosenberg at Cypher Sounds, which led me to work with DJ Khaled, which led me to work with this other guy named Michael Chernow, which led me to do some, which led me to what I'm doing now with Vice and Dark Side of the Ring, I would not have been able to do the thing in which I'm doing now.
Right.
And that was the thing. And I needed to step up, and iron sharpens iron, and everybody that I work with, everybody made me a better editor, better videographer, better cinematographer, better social media expert, better social media manager, whatever the case may be, whatever title we want to throw around. Mm-hmm. And it made me a better person. And I could sit here today and I could tell you the work that I do on my YouTube channel. And I know I'm not looking for hundreds of thousands of views. I'm not like looking to be like Mr. Beast on YouTube. You know what I mean? I'm looking for like creating my niche and creating my bubble and having my people that follow me and I follow them. We create this voice. And if you like what I do, you're going to hit subscribe on my YouTube channel and you're going to watch what I do and you're going to listen to the podcast because that's what it's about. And you know, I don't have any delusions of grandeur of getting a gold YouTube plaque on my own. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I think it's more like the quality of the content that you're putting out, because as you're describing it, it really, everyone can get a lot from it. Like everyone benefits from watching that type of content, like seeing someone go through that personal journey and doing that type of work on top of the yoga aspect. Cause I think that's something like that wellness part of life. Everyone is like very aspirational. So seeing somebody like Big E, you know, in that one, he's someone that is really good with talking about that kind of stuff, but like just seeing other wrestlers, like you're doing what's his name?
Oh, I did Brazilian jiu-jitsu with Karrion Kross.
So just seeing that is so cool, you know?
So that was a fear of mine, right? Was when I was a kid, I broke my arm in martial arts and I had to get steel rods in my arm. So from 12 to about 33, I did not do anything physical outside of lifting weights. So I didn't want to be touched. I was like, I'm good. I'm good. I'm just going to go lift weights and I'm going to go look like Brad Pitt from Fight Club. That's what I wanted to do and that's what I did.
Good movie.
Oh, great movie. But I was just like, oh, he's shredded. That's how I want to do. And for the next two summers, I want to walk around shirtless on the beach. That's what I'm going to do. And that's what I did. So I was like, lifting weights is cool. I'll do that. It's safe. I won't get touched. Great. But then I had this weird calling to do something else, right? And it was like literally driving me to push myself past my fears. Again, this is when I got into my late 30s and like, you know, stuff starts knocking that you have like hidden in the basement. And now like stuff has to come out, because if it don't come out, you're going to get a stroke or you're going to get cancer because you're holding in everything and you're repressing it and it's not good for you. And how you are internally messes you up externally. So I knew I had to face this head on. So I started Muay Thai, which is like a kickboxing. I did that for a little while and I broke my ribs several times, but it got me over the fear of being in a physical altercation or just being touched in general, you know? And then that led me to getting interested in jiu-jitsu. And if I didn't break my ribs in Muay Thai, I would have never found yoga. So again, like the journey of healing started when you had to take the leap, because there's two types of fears. There's rational fear and the irrational fear. And the irrational fears are what destroy us. It's what keeps us in a spider web and we cannot move. And we're paralyzed and we're anesthetized to just breaking forward and just moving the goalpost. Mm-hmm. And the guy that I was 5 years ago is not the guy that I am now. And the guy that I am now, hopefully with the help of God, I'm not going to be in 5 years. So it's just like always you got to continue the momentum. So for me to do things like that, like jiu-jitsu with Karrion Kross, one, I knew I was safe because the jiu-jitsu school that I researched and found, absolute pros. Great martial artist, humble dudes. Really, when you think about what like martial arts is and self-discipline is, that was them. And then he's a purple belt. Guy's going to be a brown belt. He teaches jiu-jitsu on Monday nights at his school in Orlando that he works out of. And so he's knowledgeable. He's a dear friend of mine. And I told him my concerns. He was like, no, we'll go nice and slow. We'll give you basic beginner instruction, and then we'll do something at the end where it's a little bit more advanced so we can show individuals that this is the practitioner that you should go to for self-defense and discipline. And then we had this amazing conversation about anger issues and you know, how to react, how to respond rather than react to a situation. And I got to tell you, like, that's what I'm into. That's the type of storytelling that I know. And there was nothing I, and this is not to even pat myself on the back. I just didn't see anything out there like this. I didn't see what I like, you know, like, well, what am I, where's my interest? I want to do yoga with my best friend. Life's too short. Brody passed away. It's like, I don't get to see my boys a lot. You know what I mean? So it's like, I want to see my boys. So I'm going to do yoga with E. I'm going to do yoga with Effie. I'm going to roll around and Karrion Kross is going to teach me how to break somebody's arm. I'm going to learn how to do it. I'm going to take the photos. I'm going to post the photos. I'm going to do the videos. And I'm going to share these moments with the people that I love to the world. And if the world catches on to it, cool. If not, hey, I got them for me.
And that's the heart in your work. And I want to go back to just that sense of community, because you talk about working with people you love. And that's something that me and Krista B talk about all the time on our platform, because if it wasn't for the Black wrestling community that we found, especially being, you know, based here in New York, the jobber tiers of the world, and then going on social media, meeting Black wrestling, Black announce table, all of the amazing content creators that you mentioned. And a big part of that is Wale Mania, because it's that event where all the promotions can get together. You can be a wrestling fan, a wrestler, a referee, a photographer, a rapper. You can be who you are at Wale Mania. It is the perfect party to kick off that weekend. Like, Dallas was the first Mania that we traveled for after the pandemic. And I was, the only thing I had going into Dallas was a Wale Mania ticket. I was like, I don't know if I'm going to WrestleMania. I don't know. All I know is I got my outfit for Wale Mania and my ticket. And that ended up being the most amazing weekends of my entire life, because I was able to go to everything. But I was like, I'm going for that, because I discovered it after the one in New York the next day on social media. And I was like, wait, hold on.
Nobody told us.
There's a hip-hop wrestling event that
So that's kind of done by design, right? If you notice, we don't really hit it heavy in regards to video promotion, reels and whatever. Like, you know what I mean? We kind of went back to the old school way of marketing, like FOMO. Nice. If you miss it, you miss it. And you got to be in the know and pay attention and keep your ear to the street. Because once you hear about it, you're in and you're going to want to go.
Yeah.
And it's just an old school Edward Bernays, who is like the godfather of marketing and media. I don't know if you know who Edward Bernays is, but like, he's an interesting read. He was the guy that kind of like put bacon and eggs together and the whole thing of like American breakfast and like just marketing in general, like all the stuff that we see now. It's a derivative of Edward Bernays, who I think was either the grandson or the nephew of Sigmund Freud. It's an interesting study. And if you like read about him, like, there are a lot of things we'll click on how you can market like certain things. So that's what we did. We did like FOMO marketing. Like, if you miss out, you're assed out. But don't worry about it, because we're going to come again next year. And the New York show was pretty much the tipping point for us. Like, we did before that, we did a few of them. And they were cool. You know, they were different. They were just more like, we're going to go to a bar. We're going to hang out, tell some jokes. Everybody just cool, eat, whatever. If you drink, you drink. You smoke, whatever. Then New York, we got the idea, well, we're going to do Sony Music Hall and we're going to do a concert, you know, because we did the one in New Orleans that kind of like matriculated it to like the concert. We did the one in Florida. It was Tampa the first time, not before the pandemic. It was like way before the pandemic. We did it then. And that was like, we did it at a small little nightclub. So like the venues were getting bigger. And then the New York show, which was the tipping point for us, because we knew we had something at this point. We knew what we had. We just needed to figure out, how do we now shape it? Because it's a mound of clay and we have it. Mm-hmm. Now, how do we make it the Wale sculpture? Like, you know what I mean? Now we're shaping the details of it. So what you get by Dallas was what we called the home game, was the away game, because it was Dallas. And we didn't know, like, yeah, we sold a good amount of tickets. Yeah, we had some cool people that were going to come out there. But, you know, again, we're confident, but also too, like, we know at something could happen or another event could pop up. You don't know, you know? So like, we did that and Dallas was insane.
Bananas.
It was, then we do next year in Los Angeles. That was the home game. That was the home game because, you know, Wale is based out in Los Angeles now. And that was the one, that bigger venue, bigger stage show, DJ Who Kid, DJ Money, DJing, you know, TJ Banks. So we had these like really dope DJs. Mm-hmm. And then we had these different guests come out. And we always have our guest of honors, Booker T, MVP, Naomi, you know, like just people that we enjoy, that we want to celebrate and give our flowers to. So it was like, it just started to grow and grow and grow. And then like people just started pulling up. You didn't even know we're wrestling fans, right? Like actors, guys like Vinnie Curry from the former New York Jet and Super Bowl champion from the Philadelphia Eagles. He pulls up, you know what I mean? Like, young Chris from Chris and Neef, you know, from the young,
the young guns.
Yeah, the young guns, you know.
Yes.
And so, you know, he would come through, you know, this was like West Side Gun, but West Side Gun's family, you know, Smoke Dizza, again, but family, but like now Poison Pen, you know, all these cats are coming through that, you know, like, hey, oh, Wale's a wrestling fan? Oh, I got to come through now.
Right.
You know, so it was great. And Wale had this incredible vision. And again, it's all about trusting your vision with other people.
Yeah.
And he trusted Kazim and myself to really cultivate this vision for him. And he allows us, and if he doesn't like something, he'll say it. And if he loves something, he'll say, we'll go with it. Mm-hmm. And then if there's something that he wants, a man's got a ton of contacts, picks up his phone, and makes it happen. He's incredible. So, yeah. And he's a good soul. And he's real. People think like, is he really about this wrestling? Oh, he's really about the wrestling. Mm-hmm. He watches everything.
Wow.
Everything. And I'm sorry. And that's the beautiful part of it. He's so in tune to Japanese wrestling, whether it's male or female, mm-hmm. whether it's independent professional wrestling, whether it's UK professional wrestling, whether it's AEW, WWE, TNA. Like, I like this one. I like that one. Okay, this match was sick. Cool. Sparks, I think you should check out this one. Oh, yeah, I think you should check out this. Like, so it's, he knows his stuff. He knows his stuff, and he knows, like, he wants everybody, again, community. Mm-hmm. Everybody come hang out. Let's have a good time together. You know, like, I lost too many friends during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. Brody's passing devastated. It's a pain that I still don't know how to navigate. And one of the last times I got to see Brody was the Wale Mania in New York. Mm-hmm. You know, so like I seen him after that, but it wasn't really like, you know, like we really got to hang, you know?
Yeah.
So you got to celebrate your people, right? Because you don't know who's going to be around.
Yeah. And that's Wale Mania feels like, is a big celebration. Like, it kicks off this magical weekend that's about to happen.
Oh, the party. We are the party.
You know what I mean? I think when it clicked for me, like, I'm like, Wale Mania, WrestleMania, whatever. Like, I knew that Wale was big into wrestling. What clicked for me was that freestyle between the New Day and the Usos, and he was like the judge, but he was also like the host, and it was like a more of a bias type thing because, you know, he's a rapper, so he, you know, you're gonna go for like the best bars. And then Wale Mania comes along, and it probably didn't click for me until Dallas. Like, that's when that memory popped up. We were in Dallas, and I'm like, it makes sense combined in hip hop and wrestling and having all of these people come and be under one roof, just like, and it gives you a sense of normality. Like, they're not, they're wrestlers, but they're also human. Like, they listen to the same things that you listen to. Mm-hmm. They breathe the same way you do. They cry the same way you do. They, you know, they have all these emotions. So it's more to them than just what you see in the ring if they're a heel or a baby face in the ring. And like Pete said, it's definitely a family reunion. It's really what, like, we were just on before we started recording. We were just like, yeah, so we got to pick out our Wale Mania outfits. Mm-hmm. We got to dress to the nine for this because we have to figure out, you know? So it's just, it's such a fun experience to be a part of. And like you said, like, when we heard about New York, it was like, damn, we really missed out. Like, y'all marketing about the FOMO, that's a real thing.
It really was, because I was like, I am not missing. And then the pandemic happened. I was like, no. Like, it was like the one thing I was looking forward
to. Yeah. So something online so we could be a part of it.
So when Dallas was announced, I was like, we're definitely good. That's the one thing I fucking do in Dallas. That's what we're doing.
Well, there's a lot of wrestling that weekend, right? So we're like, let's avoid doing the wrestling and let's just have all the wrestlers come to the thing and hang out, you know? So that's the most important thing. And if you look at it, the bedfellows of professional wrestling and hip hop are one and the same, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like they're a niche within a niche within a niche. Essentially, Rick Ross has been playing the same character for almost 30 years, like The Undertaker.
That is true.
That is a fact.
If you look at it that way, it's the same thing. Rick Ross protects his kayfabe, and Undertaker for years until he retired was this walking Maccabee.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So essentially you have the boss or gong, dead man, eye roll, rest in peace. Yeah. It's the same thing.
No, it really
so
is.
So when you look at it from in that context, you're like, ah, I get it. It makes sense now. And who don't you just want to hear 90 minutes of like really dope like Wale music?
Yeah.
Guys got bangers.
Seriously.
You get a concert. You get
you
a
really
concert.
Do. So
it starts off as a podcast like mixer kind of thing.
Yeah.
Where your favorite wrestlers are coming in and out on stage, right? Like Adam Cole and Britt Baker came out and you had 3,500 people in Los Angeles do boom. And then Adam Cole, baby. That's awesome. You know, or you have 3,500 people putting up the ones when we had the Usos and Solo Sikoa come out, you know, and we're screaming, put them ones up, Us, put them ones up, Us. And like, they're looking at it like, oh, this lit.
Yeah.
And that's to me, that's what works the most because if you could pop the performers that do this with ease, and they don't know what to expect. Yeah. What? I fed Solo Sikoa Doritos on stage.
Like, that's the best part is seeing the wrestlers having fun. Like even like having the, you know, being blessed to have the opportunity to meet a lot of wrestlers at Wale Mania. And they are having so much fun. And that's the endearing part about it.
And that's what you get to do as well. So as a fan, you get to see some of your favorites from wherever you're into them. And you get to see them, take a photo with them, and you could tell them how much they mean to you. Mm-hmm. And then they'll tell you how much you mean to them.
Yeah.
And you create a moment.
That happens.
Create
like
the moment.
So many that was moments. A moment with us in Samoa Joe. Remember?
Yes. Right. That's the one I always think of because I was just like, I think you're so talented. Samoa, you can do it all.
Right. Samoa Joe was rapping, and then I had an issue at the box office, and he was ready to like, come to my defense in a little bit, like. But then we went to the back. I was like, you know, they was giving me. He was like, no, they wasn't. Like, it was just that moment right there.
Well, we always have trouble with like box offices, unfortunately, because just so many people come and they get real nervous, and the fire marshals sometimes have to come and we like got to go outside and smooth it over real quick. Mm-hmm. And they're like, all right, don't make
That's
us come back.
How you know it's a good party though, you know, too, at the same time. I think the one thing to give you the creator of Wale Mania credit is that we can invite people that are not wrestling fans and they will have just as much of a good time as we all would. Like, I have
the music's good.
That, right. And it's a party. It's a good party, you know? And for me, like, my single friends, I'm like, there's going to be a lot of attractive men here. That's the one good thing about wrestling events. Cause it's like, no, just come and party and I promise you'll have a good time.
You know, I like that perspective because I look at it from a completely different lens. Mm. And, you know, y'all are looking at it from the lens in which, you know, we hope that we deliver, but the stress and anxiety and pressure of us making sure that we deliver year in and year out, topping each and every one, it's mostly tunnel vision.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That was the next question. It's like, how are you going to top LA
Oh, you'll see.
Okay. We are ready. All we gotta do is get our fits together.
We gotta get our fits. We already got we purchased day of. Like, as soon as it came out, we were on
it. I sent that fucking ticket link. I was able to talk about it on The Sun when you guys said that tickets were available.
Yeah,
I was like, you. I need everybody to make, because also don't be hitting us up day of. It was more like a get your ticket now, because you're gonna start hearing the buzz and then everyone's talking about it. I don't want to hear nothing that night.
I'm telling my friends, I'm like, yo, just come to Philly. It's down the block. We could just go. Y'all could just drive back on Friday because y'all don't got to stay for the rest. But just make sure you come for Wale Mania. Yes. And I compare it as, like, a lot of my friends are West Indies. So I'm like, listen, this is like the kickoff to Labor Day weekend.
Yes.
That's such like, a good
this
point.
You have to see in the building for Wale Mania. Like, I don't even think P and I be posting on Instagram that night. Like, it just be so
it's
much
usually
fun.
The day after because we're just so in the moment. Because it's the kick. It's the bit. It's the huge
thing. I'm gonna start sharing some photos in the next coming weeks of some past Wale Manias. I'm gonna put them on my Instagram and my Twitter because you know, they need to be shown and they need to be documented. It's a good time. Yeah. We got some stuff in store. I'm just saying that.
We are very excited.
So speaking of stuff in store, which we know about because you guys announced it, this year Shelton Benjamin is one of your honorees.
He's the man of honor this year.
The man of honor this year. And I couldn't be more excited because one, he's worked so hard. When I went back to watching wrestling, I've seen him. Like when he debuted like in 2002-ish. And I was just like, you just saw the star quality. Then he came back. He's with the Hurt Business. He was a tag team champion with Cedric Alexander. And then you hear the news of him no longer with the WWE. And I feel like that was like literally our community took a hard hit. And then we get the announcement that he's your man, the man of honor of the night. And it's just like, okay, we got one up. We got one up. Was it a hard decision to put him in there this year opposed to last year?
No, we knew, like, so last year we knew that we wanted to put Trinity Fatu in. It's a discussion that we it's rather easy. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll talk about who do we think and whatever, and we have a list, and we just like, okay, this XYZ, we'll do this, we'll do that. And then it was just like, how about Shelton this year? And we were all like, yep, that was it. That was the discussion. That was it. How about Trinity? Yep.
Conversations like that.
And you guys honor the people that deserve.
We like.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Or like, and the timing is always spot on because I think that we needed to honor Trinity and at that point in time.
Yes.
The same with Big E. I think you guys surprised him. I don't know if he was just like a special.
Yeah, that was a special thing that we all wanted to do, and Andreas Hale ran point with that one. You know what I mean? So that was coming off his injury. And it was, you know, a lot of things were in question, and it was nice to see him on stage. It was nice to see him in person, and boom, beautiful moment with him and the Usos when the Usos came out and told those stories about popping each other at house shows, and you get that real particular and sweet moment as well. And then E comes out and, you know, he's a man of many words, but he doesn't like the attention on him. So to put the attention on him was really important to us because he is such a motivating individual and helps everybody out behind the scenes that you got to give him his flowers.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's what we did. So like Los Angeles was a good one. Dallas was a fun one too, man. Mm-hmm. That was like, we did the Brody tribute and, you know, bro, I wanted to do like these specific records because Brody was a big hip hop head. I don't think a lot of people know that. Like, so Brody liked Fireman by Lil Wayne. He liked Hands on the Wheel, and he loved SZA. So when we were able to, and DMX. So when we were able to drop those four records in a row, and then the crowd just kept on getting hyped up because we had just individuals coming out, like other wrestlers coming out. It was, It was a special night. So like those are the things that you want to do, because you just, again, you want to give the people their flowers while they're here. Who wants to wait like 20 years for an induction ceremony? I you know what I mean? Like I want to hang out with Shelton this year and tell him how much he means to us and how much he means to the fans, and let him come out and say a speech, because he's been very, very silent since his release. Right. So, you know, maybe there's an announcement. Maybe there's not. Maybe he's just going to get touched up and cry on stage. You don't know, but you got to be there. So you got to get tickets.
Yes. Make sure you get your Wally Mania tickets. And we definitely want to give you your flowers too, absolutely, Emilio, because you've done a lot, but there's an authenticity there and a warmth there that you don't really see a lot, because everyone can do a wrestling podcast these days. Everyone's a content creator. When you talked about having that heart and soul and connecting with people, and who you are in real life in person is like who you are, you know, podcasting, and just that authenticity, like it's very much appreciated, and it moves a lot of people you might not, you know, realize, but it really does. So thank you for all that you do in the community. And it just, you know, hearing you talk about it, someone who's been a part of Wally Mania from day one and what it means to Krista B and I, the Black wrestling community, and then hearing that was the intention, like it came from such a pure space. So thank you for sharing your story with us today.
Absolutely.
Oh, thank you for having me on and allowing me to talk. I it's the most I probably have spoke about myself in a minute. I really don't. I don't like to talk about myself. I let my work.
A good experience.
You ladies are fantastic. I appreciate you guys. So you know, hopefully I get to see you in person now soon too.
Yes.
Well, Wally Mania is right around the corner.
Sophia.
Listen, we will definitely be looking for you. I know. I think I found you last year. When we was at the hotel. We was in the little reception area, and it was like you and Math having your little moments with each other, and I was like, excuse me, I need to hug Emilio's.
yeah. Big shout outs to Cuz. That's my guy. But yeah, please, like, hugs, all the hugs. I need all the hugs this year. I
will definitely
want them all. So let's hug, photos, the whole nine. I want more of that. More of that. So
it's
love is love. You know that. So thank you.
Well, thank you once again for being a part. This was such a special and wonderful and insightful conversation with you. Because like P said, like the authenticity from your heart, your mind is there. Even I texted you a little while ago just to check in on you and the conversation that we had. I was like, oh my God, you had to bring me to tears. And you know me, I don't cry.
You shed up Doug tears though. Come on, girl.
Yeah, I love it. But no, it was very insightful, especially because, you know, I was going through whatever I was going through, and your words came to me at the most perfect time ever. Oh. And I took those words and I ran with it.
Good.
I just want to say thank you so much for that. But let everyone know where they can follow you at.
Oh, you could do all. I'm on all the things. At Emilio Sparks. Oh. It's easy branding. EmilioSparks. I'm on the TikTok. So if you want to find me on the talk, I'm there. I'm on the X. At Emilio Sparks. I'm on the Instagram. And Instagram is pissing me off lately. I got to tell you why. Because I don't understand it. One day I can have like almost like 8,300 followers. Then I'm down to 192. Then I'm down to 8,100. Then I'm up to 8,400. Like Instagram, y'all got to make up your mind. Because you're driving
it's
me crazy.
Too much. It's so much. Or just seeing things on your feed from like 14 weeks ago. I'm like, why is this coming up on my feed? I don't see anything from the people I actually like.
Right. And I media blacked out on Instagram for about a year because I really wanted to figure out the content. My Instagram was always aesthetically appealing because I'm an aesthetics guy, right? I like good photos or whatever. I used to have like all of them used to have like they were all symmetrical in the white box and they all were like the same shape and they all had the same color grade. I was like, gonna overhaul everything. Deleted them all. I was like, this is the past. I don't need the likes. I don't need the comments. I'm gonna delete and I'm gonna start over. And now I have like the fanciest 7 photos and reels that you'll ever see. Because again, aesthetics. So if you want to see like something cool and I don't know, just self-indulgent, go on my Instagram page and like it. At Emilio Sparks. So I'm on all the things. I got a podcast with the Mighty Vin. It's Wrestle Rap. Listen to that. We talk about pro wrestling. Queen PR is beyond. We got to get Chrissy B on now, you know, so we got to have Chrissy B on. So, absolutely. You know, come hang out, listen to that, say something nice. WrestleRap.com/shop. We have some hoodies. If I had them in your sizes, I would have gave them to you because they sold out. I was smalls and mediums.
Yeah.
All right, let me the next batch that I run, I'm gonna hold y'all down.
I appreciate that.
I'm gonna hold y'all down because that it's cool stuff. It's like puff print pieces. I was a big like Billionaire Boys Club, you know, dude. So I was like, that was the inspired for the hoodies that we have now. So if you like that, go to wrestlerap.com/shop. I don't know. I'm Vice's Dark Side of the Ring Unheard. It's a podcast that I co-produce Evan Husney and the Lapse Fan, the gentleman from the Lapse Fan podcast. Big up to JP Sorrow and Jack Incarnacion. Juan Ep is Life with Cypher Sounds and Peter Rosenberg. You can listen to that.
Shout out to my co-workers.
You could go back and listen to all of the sessions with Rene Paquette. You can listen to all of Talking Shop with Gallows and Anderson. They also have YouTube channels as well. And you can go back and listen to the podcast that I helped launch with the WWE Podcasting Network. So you can listen to all the After the Bells with Corey Graves. And you can listen to New Day Feel the
Pod. That's my favorite podcast. I miss the New Day Pod so much.
I miss producing the New Day Podcast. So, Maybe life will, everything comes full circle. Yes. We'll get another chance to work together again. But ladies, it was a pleasure. Yes.
Thank you so much.
I sold the soap properly. I hope I was an interesting conversation. I appreciate y'all. I love y'all. Your energy's great. Continue to stay great. I love y'all.
Thank you.
Take care, Emilio.
Bye, babies.
Bye.
That was a great conversation. I love it.
I don't even want to go take a nap no more.
Right? So inspiring. I am so happy that we were able to get Emilio Sparks on because he's one of those guys. He's a DJ, personality, a yoga instructor, we learned. One of the creators of Wiley Mania, podcast producer. He worked in radio. Like, he's done it all, and he still gives off that genuine spirit that is so needed in this space. I think
I love it.
That
I
was
love
a good
him.
Conversation.
When I tell you, I literally just hit him up about one thing just to check in with him, and that conversation, we were texting for like an hour and some change. And when you come across people like that in this world, because we all know that wrestling media and wrestling world can be so toxic, so negative, so dark. And when you come across somebody who's been able to rediscover themselves, reinvent themselves, and just pour that pure love and authenticity out, you keep them close. Yeah. Whether it's a text, whether you're sharing their product, whether it's you're supporting their podcast, whether I hope he's doing some, I'm gonna watch that episode with Big E because I need to learn to stretch again. So
it's hilarious, and they do hot yoga, so it is all the shenanigans that you expect from that.
It'll affect the asthma, but I will stretch because I definitely need to stretch. And shout out to Big E, by the time this episode comes out, his birthday will be that Friday because we are in Pisces season.
I love it.
My first, he's a Pisces. Shout out to the Pisces bro. And yeah, this was so fun. I'm so glad that he was able to come on. I'm so glad we were able to
get your Wiley Mania tickets if you haven't already, because you will experience the FOMO that we talked about in this episode. And you get to feel if it's your first time, especially because you get to feel the magic that we talk about all the time. You got to hear it from one of the most magical people, Emilio Sparks himself. That's something that you got to be in. And share this conversation with your friends and your other wrestling fans, because it's one of those conversations, and it goes in, you know, some quick plugs to our conversation with Andreas Hale, with Cam Hawkins, and a lot of other special guests that we've had on the show and that we hope to have more of. Because these are the type of conversations that I want to bring back into the wrestling space and, you know, get out of that toxicity and tribalism that, you know, Emilio talked about. So I want to continue to have these really inspired conversations with some of the biggest personalities in wrestling media.
Absolutely. So stay tuned, because as I said in our previous conversation, and I'm so glad I'm not a liar, that we're going to have some big names on here this time. Yes. This year. We're going to have some big names. So stay tuned. I have some few surprises for you guys and for Pete.
Yay.
Because I know I don't like spoiling my secrets. But this was fun. Pete, you know, I love you always.
Love you.
Please let everybody know where they can find you at.
You can follow me, @queen_PR on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Check out Where Wrestling Meets Pop Culture every week, where we talk about everything your favorite wrestlers are up to outside of the ring and some of the cool things that they did in Australia this past week. So stay tuned. That episode is loading. And I can't wait to see everybody in Philly, because I can already, now that Elimination Chamber is over, I'm really excited for that. So make sure you connect with us and check it out.
And you forgot about Fan Club.
Oh yes, TWG Fan Club every Wednesday on Twitch. Wrestling Fan Club, we talk about a variety of things. We're celebrating Black wrestlers this Wednesday to close out Black History Month. We just did a Women of Elimination Chamber episode that'll be available on YouTube as well. So come through in the comments. It's always a really good time.
I don't know. Somebody like me might make a surprise appearance. Ooh, Kudos.
Yes.
You can follow me, Miss Krista B. That's MS_KRISTAB _ on Instagram. MS_KRISTAB on Twitter. You can follow me on TikTok. Everywhere is Miss_KristaB. Also, make sure you tune in every Friday on Twitch with the schooling sessions with Pablo the Don and Christina Contreras. This episode, we're going to give Christina her props. This episode,
yes,
we're
going
to give her props. We're celebrating her. We're giving her her flowers while she's still here to smell them. Also, by the time this episode comes out, a new sound off will be loading, because I got a new wire for my microphone and I got a lot
to say.
Okay, I have a lot to say. And like we said before, we're not going to keep saying it. Please make sure you get your tickets to Wale Mania. This is our countdown to our Christmas.
Yes.
WrestleMania. That's it. And on that note, it's your girl, Krista B.
And Queen PR.
And we are out of here. Bye.
Queen PR, Krista B, those wrestling girls, TWG, Black Excellence, making it effortless, podcast bringing up women in wrestling. Let's go.